Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Georgia Dodge Podcast on the Believe Podcast Network.
Did. Wilcox with an up and out. Wide open. Touchdown. Israel Troop.
Snap to Young. Drops back. Pressure from the edges. He throws near sideline. And it's intercepted. Intercepted. Keely Ringo at the 21. Off he goes. 40, 50, 45, 40, 35, 30. Near sideline. Breaks a tackle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. 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 Georgia.
Good evening, neighborhood. How about them dogs?
32-18. Let the celebration begin.
All right. Good evening. Welcome in. It is another edition of the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast on the Believe Network. Joining me, as always, is the legend from the intro himself, Ware County offensive coordinator and winner of many bets on Bet Online. It's Troop Star 28. It is Israel Troop. What's up, man?
Yo, what's the word, man? A lot with Bet Online this weekend. Day, thanks a lot, NFL. So I kind of know better now about betting.
Yeah, never bet week one in the NFL. That's a big no-no. But my fantasy team looked awful today. Well, not looked awful. I had Saquon Barkley at least, so that was good.
Yeah, it hurt my soul because I did this year. Mm-hmm. But I also started like week five of doing it. So I think I kind of got a little bit ahead of myself today. But the crazy thing is I only lost by like a point here and a point there. I didn't win. Yeah. I didn't lose like big time, but it is what it is, man.
Yeah, it is what it is. Well, it is South Carolina week. We will be revealing some of our picks on six. I have six picks here that we're gonna make, including it is South Carolina week. That is the title of the show, South Carolina week. We are going to Hell's Waiting Room, and as we mentioned, this show is brought to you by BetOnline.ag. It's the fastest and easiest way to get all your sports wagers. You can bet on just about anything, MLB, NHL when it happens, NBA when it happens, golf. You can bet college football, MLS, all of it. And you can even bet the Grammys, which is crazy.
That's tomorrow.
But yeah, I think so. I have no idea. But you can bet it, though. As well as the NFL, which destroyed Israel today. So,
yeah, not too bad though.
But
it took a little wind sales from doing so well. Yeah,
there you go. Well, if you wanna do as well as Israel, listen to our picks towards the end of the show. You're gonna have to hang around, and we'll release those tonight. And then if there's any updates on the lines, we'll release those later on this weekend. If you caught our programming stuff, you saw that we did that we released the preview separately. We had the full episode that released Monday We had the preview episode and the picks episode that released Friday and Saturday morning. So there's a good chance that you can get all the content that you want right here on Bet On, right here with Believe in Georgia Dogs. But before we get into the meat of the show, back to the Bet Online thing, head to the website today or use your mobile device and join to get that 50% welcome bonus. That's use that promo code BELIEVE50. That's BLEAV 50 to get that 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. Let's jump right into it. We'll start with the Georgia Samford game. It was a really, really crazy week two of action on paper coming into it. It didn't look like it was going to be all that exciting with some of the matchups like App State versus Texas A&M, Marshall versus Notre Dame, Georgia State versus UNC, Georgia Southern coming into Nebraska. You know, just some of these games didn't seem like they were going to be all that exciting. And, well, they were. But we'll start with the Georgia game. What were your initial thoughts on it coming in? What did you want to see, and what did you take away from the actual performance?
Man, I think you know, I kind of see it a little bit differently because Satcher's the head coach of South Alabama. I mean, I'm Samford. You know, him and Kirby Muschamp all work together at VSU, so I knew it wasn't going to be a monkey stomping like it really would any other team that came in. I didn't think it'd go the way that it did. Offensively, we seemed off out of rhythm. You know, missed a couple throws, wide open throws at that. Receivers, you know, when Brock Byers missed, you know, past that sometimes. Especially like in the championship game when he started missing those catches, I was like, this is bad. But you know, like I told my players this weekend, by the way, shot defense, that Blackwater defense, man, they did a Friday night. But you know,
yeah, I saw you got another big win.
Yeah, let it be known to my guys that when you practice, you're gonna play like doo-doo. I remember reading that they practice just like doo-doo on Tuesday. I think Kirby said. So offensively, they came out and played like doo-doo. I was not surprised at all. I would see Dejon and Kendall, you know, kind of get going on this weekend. The run game kind of stood out to me this weekend. We're headed in the right direction with that. Glad to see Brunt get some time in on the offensive line. Important moving forward. I think there's a great, you know, we're kind of playing a little musical chairs right now to see the best combination. But I think that room, you know, quite nicely.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see Marius Mims slotting in at right tackle a lot more. I thought he looked pretty good. And then also my biggest takeaways, again, just coming out, I don't want to say flat because we moved the ball really well, but just not in sync, just a typical FCS opponent wedged in between your first conference game and a huge win at against Oregon. I guess we were smelling ourselves a little bit, missing on passes that we normally hit, dropping balls that we normally catch, and things like that. It's nothing to really worry about, but you know, you would like to see them, you know, go 49-0 at halftime and, you know, empty the bench, but that didn't quite happen. But Dejon Edwards, it's good to see. It's good to see some of the freshmen. Denylon Morset and Dylan Bell getting some catches, getting in on the action. It was good to see the offensive line try out some different combinations. It was good to see Dominic Blaylock get involved a little bit, Kyrus Jackson get involved a little bit. We hope that – have you heard about A.D. Mitchell's injury? Is it bad?
As far as I know, it's an ankle sprain. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it's not a high ankle sprain because we all know – those can take forever to heal. Hopefully he's, I know I'm pretty sure, 100% sure when to go see for treatment, things like that. So I would play Saturday as long as it's not, you know, a devastating or anything like that. I think they just say he sprained it on the one catchy, on the one play, because he only played one play of the game. So hopefully he'll be able to play, because that's going to be huge going to this weekend against that Sox, who, by the way, they're not too shabby. I know that that score seems a little lopsided against Arkansas, but the defense is pretty good. It's the offense that looks questionable at best.
Yeah, definitely questionable at best. I mean, they put up a good fight, and you know, I think they scored despite themselves on occasion. But they're really good up front, especially on defense, and they're going to be trouble. And so, you know, this offense better get on the same page and better be as explosive as it was against Oregon, or this game might be a little bit closer than we think, and might be a little closer than the line that I'm seeing. With this Georgia South Carolina that we're going to pick later, so just you know, hopefully you come out. You know, my hope from the Samford game was come out relatively injury free, play crisp, get the starters out, get them some rest, get some of the backup guys in, and go. Defense pitched a shutout, saw a lot of good things there. Chris Hatcher's team is really good. They're going to be pretty good in their conference, in the Southern Conference. So. You know, hats off to them. They fought their asses off. They played really well in the red zone defensively. And I was joking with my friend Matt. He came over this weekend and watched some of the games with me. He's a Wisconsin guy, so we kind of flipped back and forth. But he was like, "So transitive property by Samford holding Georgia to two field goals on their first two possessions. Does that mean they're better defense than Oregon? They can beat Oregon, so they're Pac-12 champs." Samford,
I don't know. I mean, that's pretty impressive. At the end of the day, you know, it's called self-inflicted wounds. There,
penalties.
Know, it's amazing to me how
misfires.
You know, kids sometimes don't realize it. You know, until it actually happens. You know, how you practice exactly how you play on Friday night. If you have a good week of practice, pretty good chance that you're going to play good. Not saying that you're going to win, you know, by any means, but there's you to play well if you prepared that way. So I don't think that they're going to have to worry about preparing this week because Kirby didn't be happy during that post-game call. And he sounded very much like his mentor years past. After talking to him.
Yep, they're definitely gonna have a good. they're gonna have a very spirited week of practice this week. He's not gonna let them forget it. He's gonna remind them of a few years ago losing to South Carolina when they were in a similar position where they had no business winning any games with a bad quarterback. Will Muschamp is going to do everything he possibly can to remind them of 2019.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's very, very hard to win over. It's very, very hard to play over there. South Carolina is by far have the rudest fans I've ever been a part of in the SEC. That is insane. Every drunk person at LSU game. Even worse than our fans sometimes, you know, when we go on a bender. South Carolina fans in South Carolina are ruthless. South Carolina fans in Athens are ruthless. So. One feel very hostile. I mean, they don't care. I mean, their sandstorm's gonna be blasting white towels everywhere.
They got a new light show.
Yeah, and the seizure show is gonna be going on. So bring your popcorn because it's gonna be a show to say the least.
And we'll get more in depth on that here in just a little bit. But man, like that afternoon slate of games, like I'm glad we were playing Samford. Because it allowed me to watch a few of the other games. Like, we'll start with App State and Texas A&M. Like, man, App State, week one, they hang 61 on North Carolina, end up losing, but they hang 61. And then yesterday, they end up just completely dominating Texas A&M at the line of scrimmage.
Man, they made
what is going on?
A&M. It looked like the roles were reversed yesterday because App State handled them the whole entire game.
They did. It was ridiculous.
They looked what they wanted to. I mean, they pretty much shut Texas A&M offensively down. You gotta understand something. Jimbo Fields, brightest offensive minds, you know, in the league. He has been for a very long time. And to basically take everything away from him that he wants to do. I mean, not only is that great game planning by App State, that coaching staff, because they did a phenomenal job yesterday. That just shows you that no matter who you go up against, you better prepare every day. You got to prepare every day.
Yes, you do.
App State has beaten Michigan in the Big House. So, of course, they're going to come to College Station, you know, where the 12th man is alive, and take over. Absolutely. But you knew that was going to happen.
They had a veteran five-star.
But
yeah.
But, I mean, all them fives didn't mean nothing yesterday. App State could care less.
Yeah. And App State had their own veteran five-star. Dude signed at Clemson, Chase Bryce. Signed to Clemson mm-hmm. out of high school, couldn't beat out once in a lifetime generational talent Trevor Lawrence, so he transferred. Which, I mean, hell, anybody would have transferred. He made a great decision going to App State. But one thing I noticed about Jimbo is like he carries around a notebook like this on the sideline with papers flying yes. everywhere. So like you see him, he's just flipping through it, just trying to. And he's just like this, and you're just like, dude, how do you stay in tune with the game if you're flipping through your notebook?
And I always notice the back of his head. My hat's like, you mm-hmm. know, kind of crunch. His is, you know, about that big because his crane is about the size of the wall behind you, which yeah. is very impressive to have a head that big. but for the let App State come in there and completely dominate them is – it's crazy. Texas A&M defense, I mean, they played well. I mean, there's nothing wrong with the defense in the game so far. I think the defense is very, very good. I mean, but they got there all day. At some point, the offense has got to drive the field. First downs, you know, to give you some rest. I mean, they just looked bad yesterday. Bad.
Yeah, I thought App State did a good job of mixing it up with the play calling, keeping A&M's defense – which suddenly became a very tired defense, off balance, and then they set them up for that end of the game where they just started gashing them, and it just went steadily downhill as the game went on, as Haynes King and the offense couldn't produce a lick, and it Absolutely. Was, if I'm an A&M fan, if I'm an A&M booster, I'm starting to think, we spend the money on the right guy? What like. What's happening here, man? Like, this is
now game day's going to Boone. I mean, did you see the streets?
Yeah, game day's going to Boone. Yeah, downtown Boone. Holy cow, man!
Well, yesterday
it was popping.
I think they won national night. I mean, that's awesome. So, I know game day's gonna have a great time. Just from the excitement of the streets.
Yeah, Boone will show them well. Boone will make them very, very welcome. So, speaking of another small town that was probably hopping last night, Huntington, West Virginia, home of Marshall University. They travel up to South Bend, Indiana, and lay one. It was a great day for the Sun Belt Conference, by the way. They go up there and lay one on Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Just picking passes off left and right, just completely dominating. Notre Dame's offense couldn't get any footing, and every time they did, Marshall seemed to kind of take it away by getting a turnover, a key stop, some sort of penalty against Notre Dame, and then they knocked out Buckner, dislocated his shoulder on a quarterback run. It's just an unfortunate. It wasn't a dirty play. Just unfortunate the way he landed on it, and. You know, just kind of popped it out, and backup comes in, immediately throws a pick. Yeah, I think the backup threw three picks.
Yeah,
it was, and then they made a furious comeback, but time just ran out on Notre Dame.
Too late. You know, you get all this flack about Coach Freeman. Oh, no, Notre Dame coaches in three. Blah 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 blah. No one wants to hear that. Look, they're struggling right now, as any team would. They got to find identity offensively, breaking in the new quarterback.
Yeah.
Last year, you had a transfer that come in. It's kind of moving, you know, because he already had experience. Now you're coming in with an experienced quarterback. You know, there's a lot of the answer here and there, although your coordinators and things didn't change. And from a quarterback quarterback position, because right now we're just talking about offensively, because defensively they're going to be fine because your coordinator is not your but also, I mean, you just got to find the right pieces. And I think they will. I think Coach Freeman is going to be fine. You know how people are sometimes. They won't talk and all this, that, and the third.
Well, hyperbole. Yeah, you got to have the talking points. But,
at the end of the day, they're going to be fine. Yeah.
They're going to be fine. Marshall just had their number. Marshall made plays when they needed to. They took advantage of the inexperience at the quarterback position and jumped a few passes. Notre Dame has an offensive identity crisis right now. That's their biggest problem. Coach Freeman's got to figure out a way to improve drastically at the quarterback position. What that looks like, I have no clue.
Absolutely.
But you're going to have to figure something out.
And you're going to have, it's not Notre Dame. You know, it's not like, oh, my God, I want to go to Notre Dame. You know what I mean? So they're going to have to find a way to recruit some guys. I mean, they're going to shake some things up, you know, to get, you know, the Lamar Jacksons of the world and those guys kind of in Notre Dame, because they need some athletes, like a quarterback in the South Bend. I mean, let's just be honest. That whole sitting in the pocket stuff, and, you know, that's all felt. That's all well and good when you got offensive line to do it. You don't right now. So
no, you don't.
I don't think they're coming anytime soon. So if I were you, I'm trying to get in the guy that can kind of move the pocket a little bit. You know, he ain't got to be. He can be as tall as Stetson Bennett, but he can throw and run.
Yeah, opinion. I mean, yeah, you got to have somebody that can move.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, look at the best quarterbacks in the country right now. They ain't big. They ain't big hulking giants. I mean, C.J. Stroud, what, 6'1"?
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Yeah, you got Stetson.
And he's like 107. You got Stetson. You got Bryce Young, who's not much taller than Stetson, if not the same height. You've got, Will Levis is big, but he can move.
He can move. You know, every quarterback you see right now in NCAA, except for D. Daniels, that I've seen so far, just like a pure blocking passer. That's what he sees these days in the pocket.
Yep, exactly. Nebraska's looking for a new coach. They let go of Scott Frost as of earlier today. As we record on a Sunday, they suffered a really embarrassing loss against Georgia Southern after a poor performance and a win against North Dakota and another fall-apart performance against Northwestern over across the pond in Ireland, which he was hoping that nobody saw, because if it doesn't happen in the United States, did it really happen? He has a $15 million buyout. It was set to drop by half as of October 1st. So conventional wisdom had me believing they were going to wait till October 1st to can him, because you knew the decision was probably already made when they got back from Ireland. But two really embarrassing performances. They were just like, $15 million, is it really that much? Nope. Okay. All right. Scott, we thank you for your services. They will no longer be needed.
Yeah. If I'm Scott, I'm saying, as long as my check clears on the 1st, then I'm out. You know, I hate that happened. I think Scott D, one of the most prolific offensive minds coming, you know, from his time at Oregon, from his time at UCF. He's a bright, bright offensive minded guy.
What do you think went wrong, though?
I think the Nebraska game was just a little bit over. I don't think he realized how much he was going to have to fix, you know, within that time span, because they were bad. You know, Nebraska was not a very good football team. But they are absolutely better now than they were when he got them. No one can dispute that. But at the same time, you know, it's like now.
He's doing things he didn't normally do, like making really poor special teams calls, some of the mismanagement of situations mm-hmm. have been bad. Like, he didn't do any of this at UCF as a head coach. So it's not lack of experience. I'm just trying to figure out. He lost his identity somewhere between Orlando and Lincoln. Because in Orlando, he was high tempo, lots of energy, mm-hmm. flying around. And he gets to Lincoln and it's disorganized, not sure what to do, not sure how to clean. Like, he just walked into a mess and goes, yeah, I'm not sure where to clean this stuff up, and moved a few pieces around just to the other side of the room and tried to convince everybody that it was clean, and it was still just as messy as it was. It just looked different. And I don't know if it was because he was – if it's a Nebraska thing being in the shadow of Tom Osborne, that might have a factor to it. But, like, why, Israel, do you think he lost his identity? Getting all choked up on it, too.
You know, I think the dang, the alumni kind of being on his back a little bit. if you look at him now, look at him when he was at Nebraska, look at him now, he just doesn't look happy whatsoever. You know, I don't know if that's stress. It could be. I think he really knew that it was going to be that bad when he came in. So,
yeah.
I hate it. Pertree's about to be a lot happier because he's about to get picked up by somebody.
Yeah, no pressure. $7.5 million. He'll Nick Saban's got his cell phone number. Probably he'll end up replacing Bill O'Brien. That game was. Alabama got outplayed.
Yeah.
By the
Texas
way.
Texas should have won that
by
game.
By far, yeah. I didn't realize Gary Patterson was there.
Yeah, he scouted to a T, didn't he?
Yeah, oh my God. It's like they knew everything they were doing. I mean, they call perfect stunts just about every time. Like that, especially that one, I think it was in the second quarter, right before halftime. The mic came on a delayed blitz.
Mm-hmm. And Gibbs didn't pick him up.
Gibbs didn't pick him up. The center went away from it, and dude just right down Broadway smacked mm-hmm. Bryce Young.
They went.
I mean, just smoked him.
They went Louis protection and slid right. And Gibbs went right too. But he missed the mic and he came scot-free. I mean, that's what games do. I think there's no moral victory in football whatsoever. But Texas played their butts off yesterday. To lose a quarterback, backup quarterback to get hurt, you know, have Anger himself to go up in that game. The only bad is he gave Bryce Young too much time.
Yeah. You did. He marched right down the field as Bryce Young does. And this is going to be fun when I get on the mic here on Wednesday night on SEC After Dark, because Jake Thomas is a Alabama guy. We've been talking over Twitter about that, and he's not very pleased with Bill O'Brien. He's like, yeah, we should be 1-1. And I had to remind him that they're not 1-1. So You take that win, you put it in your back pocket, and you go, because
at the same time, you know, a little bright, but receivers drop balls.
Penalties.
Bryce was getting hit the whole time. Penalties. I mean, there was an accumulation. I don't really blame that on Bill. I think they aren't really holding up their end of the bargain. Alabama's always had dominant receivers, not one, which baffled me with the whole minute left. You know, your points off of these receivers as to why Texas didn't come up and press these guys, you know, get hands on them and literally make Bryce beat, you know, because he made a couple of throws, which got him close down there, you know, but make him beat you by himself And then a
couple throws in space too.
Guess what happened? He throws that ball in dirt, which he has been known to do, you know, yeah. might get a pick, things like that. So, you know, like I said, Texas played their butts off. I mean, it was a great game. I watched that game to the end. That was an awesome game.
I did too. Yeah. Yeah, I did. I did as well. And that was outstanding. You know, just the way Texas played and put a lot of pressure on them. It reminded me of the Iron Bowl last year where you get outplayed until about a minute left to go in the game. Then you sink back and
you turn it
do on. You do what you haven't done all game, which is play a little bit more conservatively and try not to get beat deep. Dude, you're Texas. You're going to like, you're probably going to finish 8-4, 7-5. You're going to be like fourth in your conference. Why not press? Yeah. Hell, you were supposed to lose by 20 points. You're up.
Yeah.
Just go freaking do it. Yeah. Just go freaking make them beat you at that point.
Absolutely. And with that performance, I think they have a really good possibility in that 1 or 2. If they play with that, if they play like they did last night, eliminate some of the stuff that they got a really good chance they wanted to do in that league over there.
They do. That was they've got to. Yeah, they just got to keep mixing it up and keep going. And, you know, they've got to, you know, fight through these injuries a little bit and hope to get, you know, yours, I think, is out 4 to 6 weeks is what they say, what they're saying. So Hudson Card's going to have to. Gonna have to get that ankle well, and they're gonna have to smoke and mirrors until Ewers gets back, and then
absolutely,
you know,
they can
have,
do
they
that.
Have a solid run of game. They have a great defense.
Your D line played well yesterday. If Ewers doesn't go down, they win that football.
They probably win it by 2 possessions.
Had a great game plan.
Yeah.
I mean, taking advantage of everything they did, they couldn't be right. I mean, that's not only is that game plan, it's because you know them, kind of know the mindset of what they're thinking things. So, Sark had a great game plan for just one of those things. You're like, dang, we were almost there. It's like, what do you do? Because it's 2 things you can do. Here's motivation, or you can go in the tank. So hopefully they don't.
Bama won't go in the tank, I don't think. I mean, they're too good not to go in the tank. They'll figure some things out. Will Anderson and Dallas Turner will get them right.
Yeah, they don't come out of Texas.
Oh, hell yeah, they'll use it as motivation. They'll come into the Red River Shootout, and you're going to see another classic in the Red River Shootout. You're going to see Texas finally beat Kansas for the first time in 1,500 days. it's going to be epic. That's pretty crazy.
Good possibility. I can't wait to see that one.
Exactly. I know, right? See that rivalry tumble. But so when Mark Stoops took the job at Kentucky, do you think that he ever thought he would be uttered in the same sentence as Bear Bryant?
I never thought that he would be the same sentence as Bear Bryant when he took that job.
Well, he passed him on the all-time wins list.
I knew he would be good. But, you know, that is a very, very awesome thing that he's done.
The winningest coach in Kentucky football history.
In the last 3 years and beat in the Swamp. That is impressive.
Yeah.
Not just beat them, completely dominate them for 4 quarters.
Yeah, dominant defense. They don't have Chris Rodriguez. They're still trying to figure things out on offense with Levis and Paul Sangrinello. I can't even say his name. I butchered that one. It's okay. Maybe Vinny can correct me. But again, they continue to just fill in studs with studs on defense. You know, you lose Josh Pascal, bring in another stud. You lose a couple of their defensive linemen. Bring in some more studs. I mean, they played so well on defense last night. Anthony Richardson heads was spinning. He didn't know which way was up. He was rattled. They were constantly in his face. They were mixing things up. They were harassing Florida's offensive line, who was very inconsistent. against Kentucky, and it was a totally, totally different ball game. And Florida had chances to win, and I think a lot of that's due to Kentucky's offense not being able to kind of put them away, but which, if I'm a Kentucky fan, I'm slightly concerned with that. But defensively, my God.
Man, they pretty much shut Anthony Richardson down, which is good teams been able to do so far, except for Georgia. He's a phenomenal leader for Kentucky to do what they did to him last night.
They contained him.
Makes me a little scary because he's a really good football club.
And we got to go to Lexington. Yeah, we got to go to Lexington. No, they came to us last year.
Oh, I thought.
Yeah, we got to go to Lexington. No, we go up there.
You know, yeah, I hope they win all their games. They play us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, they're going to be a problem in the East. And so is Tennessee. Tennessee's going to be a problem in the East. They go up to Pitt. They get the redemption. Made me nervous a little bit. Well, probably not me because I didn't have any money up, but they made you nervous. I thought Pitt, when Keaton Slovis went down, though, I was like, yeah, they got this.
It made me super nervous. I was like, what in the world is going on here?
And then they scored. They tie it up. It's like, geez. It was a good game. Pitt's a good team. Pitt's better than I thought they were.
They're going to surprise some people. I can't wait for this game.
Yeah. Pitt's going to win. Pitt's going to be good. Unless Clemson plays the other kid. I don't think DJ Ungulale is going to beat Pitt. I'm not an Ungulale believer.
He had a good yesterday, just considering, because they played the school blind, but
they played Furman. They played the Paladins of Furman. Yeah, they played an FCS opponent, so of course he's gonna play well.
I'm gonna wait and see what he does against a really good ACC opponent again. Because show up against Georgia Tech, and everybody's showing up against Georgia Tech.
Yeah, I joked that. Whoever made Georgia Tech's schedule hates Georgia Tech. And I joked that it was Josh Brooks that made his schedule. Made Tech's schedule. That was pretty funny. So any other games you wanna talk about briefly before we jump into this preview?
There were so many. I'm very impressed with Arkansas's performance. Coach Pittman, that group going a very, very good. There was another game yesterday. I was watching it earlier today, but I can't remember off the top of my head. But you know, this week is going to be a really good week game. So it was supposed to be, you know, you play your touch game week one, then you kind of take it easy. This week, conference play. So it's going to be a fun week.
Yeah, it will be. It'll be crazy. We got some good picks lined up for you too, so it'll be nice to know. So, let's jump into this preview. Georgia travels to Columbia, South Carolina, take on the Gamecocks. Gamecocks are 1-1 with a narrow victory over Georgia State and a tough loss to Arkansas. So far, Spencer Rattler is not the answer for South Carolina, but if you're Shane Beamer, What is scouting Georgia? What is South Carolina going to have to do to give themselves a chance?
You're going to have to establish some type of run to control the clock, to keep our offense off the field. Because I'm willing to bet that our offense is going to be clicking in this game on Saturday. And another thing you're going to have to do is, how can I attack zone coverage? You know, because when Georgia gets to that man coverage, you're not going to be able to do anything. But when we do it, we kind of zone blitz a little bit. How can I attack the zone? Where's the weak at in the secondary? It's in the zone coverage that we play, things like that. Don't try to outsmart yourself, because you're not going to be able to do it. Just kind of, you establish your game plan, stay within your game plan. That's how you attempt to beat Georgia, because I promise you this, they wasn't as they were last week.
Oh, no. Oh, no. They won't be.
They do realize
it. I think.
Mr. Rattler, so you know what they're going to rattle him at any point.
Well, I mean, he has no supporting cast either. I mean, he's just kind of out there. And, you know, you put a guy like that with no supporting cast, it's gonna blow up on him at some point. And he's going to. It's going to happen like it did at Oklahoma. It's just kind of his pattern. He did it in high school on QB1. He did it at Oklahoma. I mean, the freaking quarterback whisperer himself, Lincoln Riley, gave up on him. So, I think they're going to just have to find a way to protect well, give him time, move the pocket, you know, take advantage of, you know, don't get complete or actually be patient and take the 5-yard hitches, take the nickel and dimes, and try to keep George off balance. So if they can protect him, get the ball out quick, break some tackles, move the chains, they have a chance. They have a chance.
Do not lose the game because you will lose.
No. Right. I mean, he's kind of like Bo Nix. Like there's going to be some plays where George is going to give him one look, shift to another post snap, and he's going to throw it right to Chris Smith. Like Chris Smith, this is a prime game for a Chris Smith pick six, kind of like the way they did DJ Ungulale. Like they got after him, they harassed him, they hit him, they picked him off. Like he couldn't complete simple passes. They were in his head. It's going to be a lot of stuff like that where Nolan Smith is going to be constantly harassing. He's going to be in the backfield. He's going to be hitting, you know, and Shane Beamer, Spencer Rattler is going to be on the run.
Stat up front. Obviously and defensively. Very good front seven. That's one their secondaries now. They're a lot better.
They're gonna be without two defensive starters, Jordan Strachan and Mo Kaba injury. So edge rusher Jordan Strachan and linebacker Mo Kaba. So two of those front seven guys, starters, are going to be out. RJ Roderick is going to be banged up. He's not going to be 100%, but he's practiced. He'll be ready to go. Alex Huntley got banged up a little bit, but he's going to be fine going forward. And wide receiver Corey Rucker could be potentially available too. So that might be a weapon there for Spencer Rattler, somebody they were looking forward to. So without two defensive starters, if this offense doesn't feast, you know, I think for Georgia, the offense has got to start. It's got to start the way it started against Oregon. Mm-hmm. Fast and easy. Easy yards. And if it can start fast in a rhythm, easy going, and put one across, and then do it again, if they can do it three times, yep, South Carolina will quit. It'll go just like the Oregon game.
They'll fold.
He'll be yelling at people. You know, he'll throw some picks.
And like I said, one of my former players, Jaheim Bell, over there. South Carolina. I hope he does well. But just one of them games, man. The game, because it's a tough environment. Over at Bryce Stadium in South Carolina. I hate playing there. Sandstorm.
You've mentioned
every
that.
Day. So it's just one of those games where you've got to be on point, because they will beat you. There's no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. They can beat you.
They're primed to it.
How sorry people think they are. This is one of them games where South Carolina can't beat you.
So yeah.
We just got to, you know, we know.
Yeah, I mean.
They can't beat us alone. Defensive guys out. So it's time to just take advantage, get back on track, and look for the road to the championship. Because we're kind of hitting the wall right now with our focus right now. We got to get back on track.
Yeah, and I think this a road trip to Columbia is going to be just what the doctor ordered. I mean, you said it perfectly, and history can back this statement up that if we start slow in Columbia, it's not going to be easy. It never has been, never will be. I mean, they're going to come out and fight, and they're going to get pressure on Stetson. They're going to do some things. They're going to mix some things up. They're going to hit a few big plays. They're going to move, but our defense has got to, you know, I think for us, we got to play man and come after Rattler defensively. Mm-hmm. Offensively, mix it up like we did against Oregon.
Mm-hmm. Looks
RPOs, different looks, different things in the run game, vertical shots, thing, you know, crossing routes, bootlegs, things that we did against Oregon that, you know, from a bunch of different formations. I mean, I thought we had really, really good play calling in both games. I thought we've had really good play calling. The execution was lacking a little bit at times against Samford, but you know, I think Monken he's feeling pretty good right now. And he's going to have to get off to a fast start. This offense got to get off to a fast start. That's the key. Sluggish start, sluggish game. South Carolina has a chance.
Absolutely. And, you know, too, out of all the things Georgia's done, you can kind of say they've ran it out of so many formations with so many different pieces. Yeah. Out of 12 personnel, 10 personnel, 1 personnel, they've all done that. So.
Right.
You can give looks, but you can't practice all of them.
No.
With that being said, like fast, you know, throw some wrinkles in here and there. I mean, it'll be walk in the park, but you know,
go tempo. Yeah,
it's going to be a long day for mm-hmm. where we win. Absolutely, because I don't think South Carolina has enough firepower. But if you give them a chance, they're going to make it a game. And yeah. If you really give him a chance around and beat you,
I think Kirby's going to show him. I think Kirby and Muschamp are going to show him that 2019 film where we had 4 turnovers and a gazillion penalties. Same time slot. I mean, it was a home game for Georgia, but the team was built very similarly. There's a couple pieces that can give you trouble. But if you let those pieces give you trouble, that's exactly what you're going to get. And if you go out and just step on their throat early, like they did the previous year in 2018, then you'll have zero issues. But if you hang around, get some penalties, get an early turnover, give them the ball early, it's going to be bad. And South Carolina's a good team. They did. It was the year Will Muschamp got fired. We gave him a stay of execution, but I think it unraveled for him later on.
It was terrible. We stayed in the same formation.
Prompt through 4 interceptions. Play. Yep.
And we missed the field goal.
It was a James Coley special.
It was awful.
Yeah. Yeah. It was. I remember being. Yeah. I remember being really upset about that when I was like, God almighty, this is bad. Like if you losing is one thing, like we lost LSU that year in the SEC championship. We fought our ass off, but Joe Burrow did what Joe Burrow does and there's nothing we could have done about it. Cool. Fine. Great. But we lose the way we lost that game was sloppy.
Yep.
Bad decisions. Predictable. No energy. Well, we just thought we were going to walk out there, set our helmet down at the 50-yard line. They were just going to collapse, and it didn't happen.
Yeah, I mean, you see them come out, of the tunnel. You know, watch them on the sideline. Yeah, boys, I think we're finna get beat.
Mm-hmm. You can just tell. Yeah, and Robert made a good point. They're going to show that 2019. Preach about complacency and not smelling yourself too much. And hopefully this group is mature enough. I think the leaders on this team, we'll see what they got. This is the game. This is the game where the leaders we'll see what the leaders have. It's real easy to win the season opener in that situation. It's real easy to be up for that game against Oregon. And it's not surprising that our energy was down a little bit for Samford. It was, you know, whatever. But this is going to be the game. This is the game. You go out and blow out South Carolina. Okay, I believe you. You're for real. But you go out, you go out there, let them hang around, or worse, let them beat you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there's some question marks here.
South Carolina's always been Georgia's tonight, mm-hmm. no matter what, too. South Carolina and Vandy. Kentucky and every once in a while, but between South Carolina and Vandy, I mean, those two teams, I mean, we'd lose them at some point along the road. I think
prior to 2011, it was Florida too. Prior to 2011, yeah. Florida, we couldn't, it didn't matter what happened. Florida was like the 80s Celtics. Like, we were going to fight them like hell, then we were going to fold, they were going to come back and beat us, or they were just going to blow us out from the start. Like, it didn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, they were just going to get us.
Yeah.
So
I think we didn't go play this game and get on over with all of the day.
Just run through them again, whatever that tempo, just get them frustrated, hit Spencer and go.
Yep. Ball.
Bully ball. Bully. That's right.
Absolutely.
That's exactly right, Robert. Bully ball. So let's get into our picks, man. It will definitely be miserable hot. So let's start with this game. Since we just wrapped up talking about this game, we'll use this to start our picks. So I didn't tell you what the line was on purpose because I wanted to save it for the picks. But this game we were just talking about, that Georgia needs to come out and not come out flat. It's not a 6.5 point spread, 7.5 point spread. BetOnline has it as a 24.5 point spread. Georgia favored on the road. That's a lot of points for this game.
A lot of points.
But we said that about Oregon. And we more than tripled it.
We did. We did. Then I took that spread too.
Yeah.
I think we thought that we're supposed to.
Okay.
In Georgia. And I think cover that. From the simple fact, if we play that we're supposed to, South Carolina won't stand.
I think we will. I think we will and play like we're supposed to. And
that's just how, you know what I mean. I don't think they have enough firepower to beat us. No. Interesting for a little while, as they always do, play just like normal. I'm thinking 48-20.
And that would be a cover. I'm not going to attempt the math, but see, now you're in the classroom now finally, so you can do these things. I'm going to take Georgia cover too, because unless we turn the ball over four times and get a kajillion penalties and have some luck plays go against us and not being able to handle the miserable heat that somehow descends on Columbia, South Carolina every time we play them. I'm going to take Georgia in the 24.5. I'm going to take them to cover this 24.5 point spread. So I like it. And I think Robert will take it too, probably. Sounds like it. But he's always looking to make a statement. Our next game, I picked six games that I thought were really interesting. So I didn't like ramble through the BetOnline stuff. So OU travels to Nebraska. Nebraska now has an interim coach. So that line is -13.5 for Brent Venables' crew.
I'm taking it.
I take it easy. Yeah. I think they're gonna blow them out.
I think Gabriel's gonna have a great game. I think
mm-hmm.
they're going to Nebraska's gonna be. I mean, the kids love Coach Frost. So I mean. From a lack of,
do they though? I feel like they quit on
everything
him.
Everything I've read is, you know, they like him, you know, but I could be, you know, that's just,
yeah,
you know, but it's going this year. You know, they may come out and play inspired football. You never know. I think Oklahoma's going to be a little bit too overwhelming for him. And I don't think Coach Venables is going to let anything happen on his watch either. So,
oh, no, they're going to crush them. They're going to absolutely crush them. And Robert agrees. He says, as you can see, slam Alabama to cover. So, or Alabama, slam Oklahoma to cover. So, yeah, minus 13 and a half. That, I think that's easy money. Penn State, 3-point road favorites on the Plains. They take on Auburn.
after watching Finley and that group struggle again Saturday, I'm definitely taking that one.
Yeah. They struggle. They're just not good, Auburn.
Not the answer at quarterback. So,
no. Yeah. If he trots out there again, this is easy money. But I mean, Penn State's not exactly, they're not exactly lighting the world on fire either.
No, but that defense is much improved with Manny Diaz as DC. And defenses look scary for offense. So, I think they got a really good chance. Even if they just, you know, kick a field goal. Right. Is it 3.5?
Just 3.
So, yep, they'll kick a field goal to win. Yeah. It might be 3. They'll win.
Could be. They'll win. Yeah, we'll at least hit the I bet that one gets teased down or maybe even teased up. That line may change. Okay, Ole Miss travels down to Atlanta. First time since 1960-something, if you looked on Locked On Ole Miss, Stephen Willis does a whole episode about the history of the rivalry between Ole Miss and Georgia Tech. Bet you didn't have that on your bingo card as things that exist.
I did not. I didn't know they together.
They do. And Johnny Vaught and Bobby Dodd were arch nemesis. Arch rivals. It was something you have to watch the episode, but it was something like, Bobby Dodd didn't want to play Ole Miss, and then it turned into Georgia Tech leaving the conference and then getting blackballed from rejoining the SEC. Like they've tried to join the SEC like 3 times, and they couldn't. Wow. They kept getting because it has to be a unanimous vote. Who kept blocking them? Ole Miss and Mississippi State. Yeah, that's the short version. So go listen to the Stephen Willis show about the history of it. But they are 14.5-point favorites at Georgia Tech. I think it's an easy cover.
I think it's an easy cover. I think Ole Miss is way too athletic. Georgia Tech is that much more far away.
Yeah, I think so too.
They're going to lose as soon as puts that suit on, whichever suit he's going to wear.
As soon as he shows those, he's the most oddly shaped person. Either that or his tailor's god awful.
He's shaped like Mr.
Either
incredible.
Yeah. And he wears suits 2 sizes too small. So like he wears skinny suits.
Yes.
Like his jacket looks like it's hanging on for like that no, one. You gotta like
that one button drug man.
Mm-hmm. And then it just looks like he couldn't find pants that fit him.
Yeah.
Oh god, it's bad. Yeah, no, he's been scattered, covered, and smothered has led him to be stuffed into his suits. So, but anyway, it's going to be an easy cover, and it doesn't matter if Altmyer or Jackson Dart's playing quarterback at Ole Miss. It doesn't matter. It's going to be like a 41-10, 38-13, something like that. It's gonna be bad. Which leads us to our next game. Speaking of the ACC, Miami, the U travels into Texas A&M.
Ooh.
Given what we talked about earlier in the show, I feel like this is easy money because Miami is plus 5.5.
Miami a whole day, every day.
And all they gotta do is win.
You know what, A&M.
Oh my god! I might take an Ole Miss Miami parlay.
I think that sounds pretty good.
I might do a 4-parter. I don't know. Let me look at the over under on these, but
hit a spread, and then I might hit a parlay with these two. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah. The over under on Penn State Auburn is 47.5. Ole Miss over under is 59.5.
Under.
And then let's see. Where is this one?
I think Georgia might not score against Ole Miss now.
The over-under for Miami A&M is 48.
Taking the under on that one, too.
Yeah.
It's gonna be the over on Ole Miss, Georgia Tech.
Ole Miss is going to score a lot of points.
Yeah. Everybody else, I think I'd take the under. So we actually have a pretty good defense the rest of those games.
And then finally, our last game, Mississippi State travels to LSU. This is, I promise you, I don't think this is a glitch. I don't think this is a misprint, but Mississippi State is 3-point favorites at LSU, and the over-under is 54.
Ooh. I think I have to go. Oh, I gotta go Mississippi State on this one.
Yeah.
I think Coach Leach comes in, gets him a big win in Tiger Stadium. I don't think LSU's ready yet. I think that Mississippi State can keep the control. Booty, he had a very good game last week. That Mississippi State secondary is pretty sweet. And they keep them under control.
Gotcha. That's crazy. I never thought I'd see it. I'm gonna have to take Mississippi State on this because it's just so preposterous.
Mm-hmm.
Robert, just will you make sure that the audio hasn't stopped on YouTube or the other places? Our audio is stopped on Facebook, which whatever. They can find the full audio version anywhere you find your podcast. So, I want to take the Bulldogs here, man. Like, they're 3-point road favorites at LSU. I don't think you'll ever see that.
Don't.
No. Even when
never
happened. Even when Dak Prescott was there, I don't think they were favorites against LSU.
Yeah.
Even at home, I think they played him at home that one year.
Go back over there because he ended up for these Cowboys right now, and I ain't real happy about it.
I tell you, dude, you got to find a new team. You're in South Georgia. So you got plenty to choose from. You go look down right down the road, man. Miami played some good ball today. Apparently, Tyreek Hill said that his head coach needs to carry his balls around in a wheelbarrow after going for it on 4th and 7. So
the law of analytics, man. You know, he was an analyst. I would love to see like really those, because I don't think like that.
I don't either. How much do you look at your play sheet during the game?
I actually do. I call off mine. Of course, I have the stuff in my head, but I kind of have it in sequence to where if I'm in rhythm, like it's right next, they're right next to each other. That makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't really color it very often.
So you just script out a rhythm of play calls? Do you script out like series 1, series 2, series 3, series 4, or do you just have like a list of plays that you go and like, okay, I'm going to start here this series and work my way down? Or
yeah, that's kind of how we do it.
That's interesting. It works.
It's really weird.
Do you put on your list? Your rhythm list there.
There's like 10. There's also like different ways to run it. So it's like a sequence of stuff to do it. All right, what are they doing to this front, to the bridge? And it kind of just kind of marries up together.
Hmm. I have to get with you in the off season, really kind of I'm looking for a better way, but I don't think I looked at my play sheet more than once. I think I looked at, I was holding it the whole night, but I don't think I ever really looked at it.
Mm-hmm.
I just get it. I just get a rhythm in my head and go.
Yeah, some people
and I just rattle it off.
You know, up until this year, because we all work together, you know, I usually don't even look at the play. A time that I play in, I look at the ball snap. I kind of, and then I'm on already up to the next play, so I barely like look up going on either.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty much the same way.
That's because we play so fast. You know, it's like boom.
Yeah, yeah. Next play started. You can't reflect really until defensive series.
Yeah, we go to the sideline.
And since we moved away from wristbands, it's been a lot easier for me too. Because I'm not having to search for the wristband number to give them the number, and I'm not having to like scan up. Like, even when I designed it in a way where I put everything in clusters with the number, like it was like idiot proof.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, Friday night I try to get in a rhythm and I can't because I'm like, okay, 37 zone. Okay, hey, 21. 21, because you have to list out every formation that you're going to run it out of and put it on a card. So, like, it was so slow. It was bad.
We used to, whenever I used every, there was a color for each one, but it was like six plays were from the left hash and right hash. It was color coded. So, if on it trips, like trips was blue, right? But then, like, trips left will be green, you know. So if it was, it depends on the way I could already look and look at it, and then we go.
Even then, though, I don't like. I guess it's just how my brain works. I just, if I have to read, I get off my rhythm. I can't. I feel robotic. I just can't. I don't know.
It's tough. Especially when you're on the field, not in the box either. Most box office coordinators, you know, they're.
I guess also, I try to create chaos where it appears to be chaos, but the other side, it appears to be chaos too. Where like, I try to get in a rhythm where I'm not really in a rhythm, according to their sideline, but in my mind, I'm definitely in a rhythm.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of what I do. So it looks like I'm throwing darts at a dartboard, right?
Yeah.
But I'm not.
Need rhythm Saturday. Go ahead and get it over with.
Yeah.
Get it home. Get to the house.
Yes. Getting that air conditioned.
What time is that game? That's 1 o'clock kickoff?
It's a noon kick.
Noon.
It's a nooner. What was that visiting locker room like? Was it tight, cramped?
No
AC.
No, the locker room's pretty good though. It's on the home side. If you're looking at the student series, right there to your left hand side, right up under the spiral case over there. If it's still there,
gotcha.
That's where it was when I played. You know, it's pretty spacious. Everybody on a little locker area. The worst, I think, was Vandy. But I think they kind of redid everything there.
They just kind of put you in a storage closet.
Be more accommodating.
Yeah. No, not too bad at all. So, all right. Well, that's going to do it for us here on the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast. We hope you take our picks and listen very carefully to Israel because he made a lot of money last week. So if you want to do the same, you do the same. All right, if you're in South Georgia, you want to see some good football, head on down to Waycross. Who y'all play this week?
We're off this week. A much needed week. I'm back and play Bainbridge.
Okay. Bearcats. Well, next week. Next week, if you want to see some good football, head over. Find the Ware County Gators, and you can find them. If you're in the Nashville area, you can come to Lewisburg and watch us take on Marshall County. We got our first win of the season, 14-7, over Montgomery Central. We did a little bully ball ourselves to close out the game. I think we closed out the game with like 12 straight runs.
Yeah.
And our last play was a snap over the head. but it didn't matter. We were deep into their territory. So like we took a delay and it ended up working out just fine, but it got interesting there, but we ran the ball 12 straight times. It was great for our offensive line who has been struggling big time. But they,
just when you thought you were safe, he snaps it over his head.
And I'm glad our quarterback was able to get back there and fall on it. I'm glad they didn't have anybody fast. Because if they had scooped and scored that to tie the game up, oh my God. That would have been bad. That could have been really bad. So
they do that sometimes.
It does. But anyway, that's going to do it for us. For Israel Troop, I'm Corey Burton. We are the Believe in Georgia Dogs podcast presented by Bet Online. We thank you for watching. Find us on YouTube, subscribe, find us on social media, find us anywhere you find your podcast, and we will see you back here next week. And as always, go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.